Inside the Huddle. Thanks, Dennis, for getting us back on the air on time. And we have not a one-hit wonder. We have a guy who's been hitting for about 57 years. Legendary Coach Bud Wright. Coach, thanks for calling in.
Okay, yeah. I appreciate you letting me call in.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what. You've got a heck of a football team going on this year. Let's talk about them.
Yeah, they kind of was a surprise for us. Starting out the year, we had a lot of question marks, and so things just sort of started fitting together, and we just kept getting better and better. And we've been playing pretty good ball here lately.
Well, Coach, you've always been a team that played a tremendous schedule. There's no difference now than it's ever been. Talk a little bit about earlier in the year when it wasn't a class program, everybody kind of played together, to what it is now.
You mean the football tournament thing? It was sort of a letdown as far as football is concerned until 73 when they put the tournament in, but we tried to get the football tournament in years before that, but a lot of basketball people blocked it and stuff there. And we finally got it in, and then I think then football really took off, and that was a real big boost as far as football, its popularity in the state of Indiana.
Well, man, you're not afraid to go up against anybody. I mean, you start off with Western Boone. They've got a great program right now, and then you just lock in and say if somebody wants to play you, you're say we'll get on the bus, we'll go.
Yeah, we'll play. We do a pretty good schedule this summer as far as our summer scrimmages and such is concerned, and we scrimmage 3, 4, 5, 18, and the Kokomo 6, 18. So we sort of get broke in as far as the bigger schools in the summertime in our practice scrimmages, and I think that helps us during the year to realize that we can play with these people.
Coach, you've got 446 wins, 208 losses, and 58 years of coaching. Man, that says a lot right there. Even when I was coming through the school, Sheridan was the team. And back in the day, you played in an outstanding conference with Hamilton Heights and Westfield. I mean, every week was a challenge for you.
Right, that the old Ridgeline Conference, and that includes Southeastern and Zionsville and Heights and stuff, and that really was a big challenge. And we went several years there. We only had one A school on our schedule. Clinton Central, for a few years, was the only single A school we had on our schedule. And you play the bigger schools, you either get your butt beat good, or you play up to their caliber, and I think that this makes tougher set there for tournament play.
Well, Coach, talk about the difference of football and from when you began, but just how football has progressed in the state of Indiana.
Well, like I say, I think the progression, a lot of it is due to the tournament and the excitement and such there. And it just getting more and more popular, I think, as far as the concern. We had a lot of setbacks as far as people thinking on concussions and this type of thing. But I think it was a great concern there for a while, but I think that's kind of let up. I don't mean let up as far as the situation, how you look at it, but I think the people begin to look at it that it's not as bad as some people think as far as this concerned. Other sports have the same type of problem, so I think we're getting more people back to football now.
Well, you've had a feeder program that has been second to nobody. As whenever I come through Sheridan, I always look at the water tower and see all of the state championships that the little town of Sheridan has brought back home. And I know Sheridan is their football means a lot to the folks in Sheridan, probably as much as basketball to everybody else.
Yeah, when I was at school back in the 50s, I went to Sheridan also then. We had decent football teams there, but basketball at that time was king. And that we had like a 7-year run as far as the sectional tournaments and such concerned, and as far as went to the Silver State once or twice during that period of time. And I think now that football has sort of replaced that, football is the king now as far as sharing is concerned.
Coach, when you get ready to play another team, give me a coach that, has been a real challenge to go up against.
I think the Western Boone coach, I think he does an excellent job. The coach we played against last night at Monroe Central, he does an excellent job. There's been a lot of coaches and such that down through the years that you really got to go against and such there. One of the biggest challenges I had for years was Dave Enright when he was at Southeastern. That was a big test every year for us. They were a little bit bigger school than us and such there. And Dave was heck of a coach. But, those are some days. We went against Noblesville with Jim Belden three or four years there. I never did beat Jim at Noblesville. But when he was at Westfield, I beat him at Westfield. Those are the coaches I think have been real challenges, yes.
Well, let's now focus towards some of your players in the past. And I know coaches don't like to talk about who your best player was, but talk about some of the kids that have come through your program. I mean, I go back to, I think it was Law, who was a running back for you. And you've had some great athletes come out of that little town.
Yeah, we have. That's the key. You got to have the talent, and then you got to put the talent together. But you got to have the talent to get the job done. And, like I say, the Law family was a big name as far as football down through the years. Brett Law set 6 national records in 1988. A lot of that was we had a lot of good people around him. That was a really great team that's there. Nick Zachary took us to four state championships in a row in the early 2000s. And then as far as linemen is concerned, we've had lots of linemen. I go all the way back to the early days. Jeff Michaels was a great lineman, Jim Hancock, and Bill Buck, Jeff Perkey. There's just the numerous number of linemen that you could name as far as that's really been a big plus as far as program is concerned.
Coach, talk about your current football team. Give us some guys who's been doing well for you and getting you down to where you're going to be playing. I think it's Hagerstown next Friday, right?
Right, it's Hagerstown. Well, like I said, this has been sort of a surprise to us. We're starting 3 sophomores on the offensive line. And, those were key positions because at the start of the year, we didn't know who was going to do the job and fill in there, and the sophomores really caught on and really started doing a good job. As far as our backfield is concerned, it's one of the best backfields I've had for probably since the, I would say, as far as the total backfield of the 4 players, going back to the Nick Zachary years, we got 3 excellent running backs and a sophomore quarterback, and they've done a great job. I mean, we got Peyton Cross is really come on. He's got 1,700 yards rushing, I think, a little over on the season already. We got Jacob Jones, who's averaging carrying the ball. He's averaging over 12 yards a carry as far as carrying the ball. I think I think it's like 11.9 or something like that, average, carrying the football. And then our fullback, Zach Bales, he's got over 600 yards rushing. So we got an excellent backfield. We're going to lose two of them, but they're big and strong. I mean, Peyton Cross is a 6'1", 230-pound running back, and Jacob Jones is about 5'11", 6', 190. So you just keep pounding with those guys, and we've been getting the job done by doing that.
What do you know about Hagerstown, Coach?
Hagerstown's they're a solid football team. They got excellent size. They got some, like I say, up front. They got a couple good running backs. I haven't got to film one of them yet. Hopefully, I'll get that here in a little bit to break it down. I watched the play at Muncie at Ball State a couple weeks ago. Their conference had a play day at Ball State, so I went over and watched the play that day. They got beat pretty handily, but record wise, they've been putting up a lot of points. They scored over 50 points in like four games, I think, over 50 points. And then they got in some of the tougher part of the schedule. They haven't been doing quite as good, but they got a solid football field team. Let's see, I think they're right now are 7-3. So that makes them, they get a 7-3 record. You got to be pretty good.
All right. Well, we're trying to get Jamie Blacker on the line with us as he's got a couple questions. I think he may be at work right now. Once we get him on, we'll see if he's got a question or two for you.
Okay.
But what do you think about football in general, as far as the importance it is at Sheridan compared to other communities?
How important it is to Sheridan?
Yeah.
Football is not only important, but I think when you have success in one sport, that sort of carries over to others as far as people are concerned. It gets them excited. Like, I think that a season like we're having in football, I think will excite the crowd, some of the basketball games. And, I think I think the programs feed each other. If one's having success, I think the atmosphere in the school is much better. I think the community will come out and watch the other sports also. I think whoever wins, I think, is a big plus for the other sports.
I think we got Jamie on the line. Jamie, you with us?
Yeah, I'm right here. Good morning, Coach Wright.
Good morning.
Hey, good to talk to you. Sorry I couldn't be there this morning. I was just going to chime in with Don. Hey, I want to tell you, I think your greatest football team ever was the 1987 Sheridan Blackhawks, because the sectional championship at Clinton Prairie, the Gophers almost got that done and beat you, but you came back and beat us and went on for a really nice run. And you guys were talking about Brett Law, and I lived those days. And another player, there was lots of good players on that team that you guys were just really good for a lot of years.
Right. We had about a 25-year stretch there. We were pretty dang good all time.
Do you remember that, Coach? The Gopher scored a 2-point conversion, and then the flag started flying, didn't it?
And the center caught the ball?
That's right. That's exactly right. It was about 10 seconds to go. So.
Yeah, that was the 1987 season. We played over at your place. And it was
right.
The right side. It right the corner of the end zone. And we'd beat you during the year pretty handily. I really.
That's right.
And
that's
our
right.
Kids, I think we had 9 fumbles that game. I'm pretty sure it was 9. And our kids they weren't up for the game. They thought it was going to be an easy cakewalk. And we just about did get out of there with our heads on. I mean, you've got Nick. The big kid, the running back.
Ty Baker.
Yeah. He done a heck of a job, and your line picked up blocking and stuff. You had a couple big linemen there, and they had
done. I was one of them.
We were lucky to get away that, and that after that group caught fire.
I'm going to tell you a story, Don. That year, my senior class, we went down and watched Sheridan play in the RCA Dome. I think you guys beat, I want to say, Jimtown, a pretty close game. And Coach Wright motioned us on the field after the game, and we went in the locker room and watched Sheridan celebrate. But he did point over to us and say, hey, you know, you got to be ready every week because these guys over there about knocked you off. And I think the next year, you know, you just kind of went on a run and just handily went back there and won easily.
Yeah. That's true, we did.
Well, hey,
go ahead, Jamie.
Another funny story, Coach. Hey, you know, this year, point of emphasis on the sideline is the referees tell everybody they got to stay back, especially the coaches, and stay off the sideline. So, you know, I do the stats for the Gophers, and I always tell them, well, I said, well, Coach Wright, he drives on the field in his golf cart and calls to play, and nobody says anything to him. Does anybody ever tell you to get back, Coach? Is that the point of emphasis on the Sheridan sideline this year?
Well, every once in a while, they'll have to get me back off. But you know,
I figure after you've won as many games in 58 years as the Sheridan Blackhawks have, you've earned that right. Which I don't know if you mentioned that earlier or not. But you guys picked up your 700th win earlier in the year at Clinton Prairie, and I think it's only the third high school in the state of Indiana to do that.
Right. That's right. Sheridan football goes back all the way back to 1899. It was one of the oldest schools played football, and back then, of course, the schools weren't near as big. But we played Cathedral and Ben Davis. Ben Davis is just a crossroads and such. There, we played Broad Ripple. We played a lot of the bigger schools, and as in the early years there, they used to take a train to Evansville and to South Bend. The players that would get out of school early, get on the train, they have a couple of teachers, and they do their schoolwork on the train going down to like Evansville to play football. So, I mean, it, the tradition as far as that goes, it does go back a long way.
Well, Coach, let's talk a little bit about the fact that you've got some sons that have are now coaching, and one of my favorite things was the ability to be a video guy for your son, Kevin, when he started to change the program here at Frankfort.
At Frankfort, Kevin, he's a well-traveled coach as far as this is concerned. He's been in the state, out of the state, back in. But he started out. That was his first head coach job. He was assistant at North Central, and he was wanting to look around for a head job. And so I told him that Frankfort was open, and we went over and talked to Doc Veterinarian.
Yep. McLean.
And we sat in his living room for about an hour and a half talking with him, and Kevin got the job then, and that was the start. He liked it at Frankfort, but he had the opportunity the next year to go to Noblesville, so he jumped ship and went to Noblesville. And I say from there on, he's well-traveled. He's been to Kentucky twice, and Oklahoma, and Florida, and IMG Academy. And right now he's the tight ends coach at IU. And my second son, Kent, he was the head coach at Lebanon for 14 years, and he finally decided to give that up to do a lot of mission work and stuff. And then he got out of it. They came back and was the defensive coordinator for a while at Traders Point, and then he decided that he needed to get back and travel a little bit more as far as his mission work. So he's not coaching now. My youngest son has been assistant with me for the last few years, and he coaches quarterbacks and defensive backs.
Hey, Coach, can you talk a little bit about all your assistants there that you have at Sheridan right now. I know a lot of those guys, some of them go back, clear back to when I was playing, and they've just done an outstanding job for you.
All right. Brian Billington played for me in the 81 year, 80-81. And that was his junior senior year. And he played with me for about 30 years. I had Dave Urban, who doesn't coach with me anymore, but he coaches for like 32 years with me. You know, I've had lots of coaches there. Barry Hutchins is a community coach that comes in and helps. He's been with me for 30-some years. So, you know, I've got a lot of people that that work with the program. And Jeff Perkey, Jeff Perkey coached the Franklin, if you remember, with Kevin. And he coached for a while, but he hadn't wanted to see his son play. So he dropped out. Now he's come back. He's been with me for a while. So, you know, I've got several guys that that actually we don't really I tell them what's up there, and they know exactly what I want to do.
I talked a little bit about it earlier in the season, Coach, after you beat Clint Prairie for your 700th win at Sheridan as a program. Your guys' style of offense, it's not the most complicated thing in the world. It's just an offense where everybody either gels together and you do it right, the right way, coach right way, or you don't. And I just felt like this year is one of them teams that just bought into your style of play and, you know, playing as a one unit. They fire off the ball, and all the helmets are evenly, you know, matched. If you look down that line, and they're always underneath the shoulder pads of the opposing team. And if you feel like this is one of your teams that can get all the way down to Lucas Oil this year,
it's going to be a tough road. As I say, we got a lot of young kids, but we feel like we've got the opportunity, and we just got to get ourselves really ready and set to play. But of course, Hagerstown, I'd say 73. In the region, we'd probably beat North Decatur. They're an undefeated team. And then in the Civil State, we're looking at Lutheran. They're an undefeated team. And if Lutheran gets beat, it would be Covenant Christian. So, you know, it's a tough road to the state tournament, but we're going to give it a good shot.
Well, Coach, we appreciate you joining us today. Any words of wisdom for the rest of us?
Gotta stick in there and keep working at it. Always tell younger coaches and such that they got to go to clinics and they got to get involved in the Football Coaches Association. I think that's been a key as far as my years are concerned, that just being associated a lot with other coaches and just sitting down and talking football. I've had people come in, from Ohio and Michigan. I had Illinois come in and Kentucky that called me and come in and just come up. We just talk football just there, and that's what you got to do is that you got. You just got to sit down and learn what's going on and just keep at it, keep working at it.
Well, Coach, I know it means a lot to other coaches to be able to sit down with you to, you know, spread your knowledge amongst the other coaches in the state of Indiana. And, you know, some of those coaches were here in the county along with at the city or the Frankfort High School also. I know that in my time of being associated with the football team, Vince Burpo and Brett Colby, I'm sure those two guys also were big mentors of yours also, right?
Well, not so much Burpo. I mean, we sit down a lot and talk football, yes. But Brett Colby was assistant with me. I didn't know whether you knew that or not.
I didn't know that.
Brett was assistant with this session and done a great job. And that's he left here and got the head coach at South Newton. And, you know, he's carried on the fine program. And he's been in different places, and he's always had success. So, yes, those two are very good friends, and we still get together. Vince Purpo and us with the group, and Brett Colby. We just got together this right before the season started at Kokomo, at a restaurant there in Kokomo. Sit there for about 3 or 4 hours and talk about the upcoming season, that kind of thing.
Jamie, you got any questions to finish up?
Hey, Coach, I just want to tell you thanks for, the friendship. I enjoyed, talking with you. I started going to state finals about 15 years ago with my buddy Dave Joseph before he passed away, and we got to meet you. And each year going down there and, get a chance to sit there and watch 5 or 6 ball games with you guys has always been a lot of fun, and I think my son Drew enjoyed that as well throughout all the year. Well,
we really enjoyed it also. I mean, that's what I was talking about, getting there and sitting down and stuff. I remember those sitting down there, we discussing things. And Drew is always a favorite of mine, you know that.
Oh, I know that. I'm going to tell Don, there's a clip. Of course, when the 1A football game goes on, they always want to, put Coach Wright on the TV because he's the legendary coach of the 1A games. And not always is Sheridan there to participate, but he's always there to watch every year. So there's one year where Drew broke his leg late in the season at Sheridan in a football game in sixth grade. Well, Drew happened to be sitting next to Bud Wright at the state finals, and they popped up on the TV. And, boy, that was some talk for a while about Drew sitting with Bud Wright, I can tell you that.
Well, I've got a story myself with Kevin. My son Tyler, Kevin was very, very good about allowing my son Tyler to come to practices and kind of be a part of the team on the sideline. And my son at that time was, I'd say 6 or 7 years old. And it was about this time of the year. The school was out for fall break, and his Tyler's mom had said, "Hey Tyler, let's go down to the pumpkin patch and do some pumpkins on a Friday." And my son says, "Well, Mom, I'll be happy to go, but you got to get me back in time for the football game. I want to listen to Coach Wright's pregame talk. It's always good."
that is true. Kevin is a master at pregame talk. That's there and getting teams fired up . He did not get that from me. I just don't give those type of speeches. But as you say, I mean, Kevin always has good stories and things on pregame stuff. And even I don't know about now, but when he was at IMG, I went down at least to one game every year. He was down there sometimes 2 or 3, but he still had that bat. He still got that. That to tell their stories, get those teams fired up different ways like that. But he's a master at that. He did not get that from me.
Well, Coach, you don't know how much we appreciate you calling in and talking to us. And let's knock off Hagerstown and move on to the regional.
I hope that comes true. We got to go to Hagerstown, and then I think if we do that, then I think we would host the regional. So. Hopefully we'll get that done.
Well, good luck, and thanks for joining us.
Well, hey, thank you.
Jamie, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it myself.
Yep, no problem. Thanks, Coach Wright. See you guys later.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so show coming to an end. We appreciate Coach Wright calling in, and, of course, Coach Bessner from the Carroll Cougars, and then Ben Martin, the cross-country coach, his interview to start our show. So we'll call it a day. We hope that you enjoyed the broadcast. And Inside the Huddle will be on next Saturday, same time, same place, as you've been listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by Susan Casper Insurance.